Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
The two moves while the Guardians sent Shane Bieber, who was coming back from rehab. He ends up going to Toronto for Cal Stevens. And then they also sent reliever Paul Sewald to Detroit for future consideration. So that is the two moves that the Guardians have made so far today. They have the day off. Let's get more information from a man in the know, fresh off a trip to Cooperstown. He's a super friend of the show from MLB.com. You know him and love him as Anthony Castrovince, and he's on the fan hotline right now. Anthony, my friend, how are you?
I'm great. It's a great day to be a Guardians fan, isn't it?
I don't know. Hell. Is it? You tell me. I think if they trade Stephen Kwan, the fans are not going to be happy. Yeah.
No, I don't blame them one bit. It's just been a very heavy season, right? So everything's just felt heavy this year. Yeah. They've struggled to really piece things together in the win column. It's amazing they're 500 in spite of the way a lot of things have gone, but. They just haven't had that edge to them. And then, you kind of get a gambling scandal blows up in your face. And next thing you know, here you are at the trade deadline where I don't know if what we've seen is the extent of things or if there's still another big one coming. I think we all know, like you just said, I mean, how that would be perceived by the fan base, that would be pretty rough. But so has this whole week has been rough for them.
Sure. Anthony, if you have to run, we understand. Trade deadline coming up in less than 5 hours. With that said, Mason Miller, closer, gets traded from the Athletics to the Padres. Johan Duran, closer, goes from the Twins to the Phillies. And Emmanuel Clase is sitting at home right now and can't play until August 31st. You think Clase would have been one of those guys?
I really do. I think they've kind of wavered back and forth, in recent weeks, and just with the light schedule in the second half, you wondered how they respond to that. But just generally speaking, I think it was an environment where there's so many teams hungry for help in that area. And I just think it was a chance for them to be opportunistic. But obviously that goes out the window now.
All right, let's get into the Guardians. And Bieber to Toronto, your thoughts on that as the Guardians front office deals with their old friends in Toronto?
Yeah, it's kind of amusing how, they extend Andrés Giménez, Miles Straw. They do this deal with Bieber, which at the time people were justifiably excited about, to bring him back in the fold when that didn't seem possible prior to his injury. But and all those guys end up shipped off to Canada. So
Guardians North, right? Isn't that?
Guardians North.
That's what the T-shirt could say.
Obviously, a great working relationship between those two front offices, and the Blue Jays are in a position where they can. It's a calculated gamble on Bieber, where you're going to owe him about, I think it's around $6 or $7 million for the remainder of this year if you factor in the buyout for next year. But he's got that player option for $16 million, which really kind of hung over the Guardians' head. So it made sense to just move that money first and foremost. He hasn't obviously thrown a pitch for them this year, but I like it for the Blue Jays. I love Shane Bieber, great guy, hard worker, and I really root for good things for him in his return from surgery here. It's obviously been a painstaking process, and he's evidenced that, it's not always as smooth as you want or think it might be, but if he can deliver them some good innings down the stretch, I really like that a lot on a team that has definitely overshot expectations in a big way this year.
Anthony, if he's going to pick up that option, don't you think they would have kept him?
I don't know. I mean, this is what hangs in the air with the Luis Ortiz / Emmanuel Clase situation, unfortunate as it is. It really changes your construction for next year, where those guys were obviously, if you were going to keep Clase past the trade deadline, and again, who knows? It's to lose two huge building blocks on your pitching staff like that, affordable pieces at that, really changes the way you construct your club for next year. and $16 million for Shane Bieber, who, again, we don't know what the stuff is going to be. We don't know what the success is going to be. I think it made all the sense in the world for them to move him now and to not have, you know, that financial reality kind of hanging in the air on a team that doesn't have a lot of financial resources at its disposal, for a front office that doesn't have a lot of financial resources at its disposal. Do you want to have the possibility of, you know, committing $16 million to Shane Bieber, you know, with all that missed time? Again, I love the guy, and I think he'll come out, you know, on a good side of this, but you can't, it's not my money to play with. And so I just think that's a big commitment, you know, with so much uncertainty now for 2026, given what has just happened.
Interesting. Why would you trade Stephen Kwan? Is it because you're hoping to get overwhelmed with an offer since there are not a ton of bats out there available?
Right.
Are you afraid of what might be coming down the road in free agency with him? The idea of why you trade one of two or three guys who can actually hit for you is the puzzling aspect here.
Right, and it goes back to what I just said. I mean, I think that what happened with completely having your 2026 plans dramatically altered, then you start to go down the road of, okay, what is this? Are we going to go super young and try to build things up again? That's a real possibility. I mean, the other possibility is just you figure something out with Stephen Kwan. I mean, they certainly had extension talks in the past, and maybe here, sometimes deadlines spur action in that regard as well. You know, so maybe you throw a bunch of money at Stephen Kwan and get him to stick around. I don't know, but if that's not going to happen, and they have a better sense of that than I do, as far as, you know, where those conversations, you know, what the holdup is, how far apart they are, all that, you know, maybe you start to get realistic about your future and how things look for 2026, 2027, which is the years you have control of Stephen Kwan, and looking at a trade market that is super light on bats. I mean, super, super, super light. So, if you can get a haul that includes, you know, a couple top 100 prospects, a higher end, you know, within that top 100, you know, within that, I mean, I think you got to think long and hard about that, just given what has just transpired in the past, you know, in the past few weeks, where again, I mean, crucial pieces of, you know, crucial building blocks of your pitching staff have just been taken away from you. And so, you know, how deep that goes, I don't know, because this is the front office that's very reluctant to do a rebuild. They don't want to turn off the fan base, you know, at large. And look where it's gotten them. You know, they've been very smart, generally speaking, about moving guys at the right time. You know, they've certainly traded away a lot of talent, but they've been pretty diligent about, you know, doing it the right time, not rushing the process, sticking to their demands with other teams. And that's not going to change in light of what's happened this week. I mean, they have a high price on Stephen Kwan. I'm sure they'll maintain that price. And if they don't get it, they won't move him. But if they do move him, it will be because the market just presented an opportunity that was too good to pass up. And B, you have to be honest with yourself about what does 2026 look like? You know, and it could look a lot younger than they had envisioned earlier.
Mm. Anthony Castrovince, MLB.com, joining us on the fan hotline. I want to go back for 1 second because Jeff and I talked about this as far as Bieber was concerned. How do you think that we all knew Bieber was going to be out for a good portion of this season, right? How did he end up getting the option on the second year?
Well, oftentimes that is part of those deals where it just is, you know, for the player's benefit, you know, where there's just so much unknown in the air. And Shane Bieber, let's face it, Shane Bieber had bad timing when it comes to the injury. You know, he missed out on a very lucrative opportunity, and there were probably more lucrative opportunities for him for the 1 year for 2025. Mm-hmm. But he did value, you know, the training staff here, the continuity that comes with that. And then, yeah, you put it in his hands, you know, where if things do go off the rails, if he can't come back from this thing, or if he comes back a very much lesser version of himself, at least he had that financial security for that second year. So yeah, it was kind of like, I don't know how to phrase this. It's not like he's doing them a favor re-signing with them. I mean, both sides took on risk with that deal, but he did probably go below market to come back to Cleveland because of the continuity, and they do him the solid with the player
option.
And I don't even know what it's still, as of, you know, here we are, July 31st, there's not a ton of season left, but there's still enough season left where who knows what happens with that player option. You know, if he comes back strong and he pitches now for a contender and pitches well and pitches in the postseason well, I mean, boom, you know, so much for the player option. He can probably do a lot better. So it'll be fascinating to see him in the next couple months, and I'll be rooting for him hard.
Reliever Paul Sewall goes to Detroit for a player to be named later or money, right? Yeah. I'm not comfortable with trading with Detroit. Yeah, you got to help me on this one.
Unless they think
that Sewald, that doesn't make a difference.
Yeah, it's Paul Sewald in a not good year, veteran guy, gets to go pitch for a contender. You know, they add some veteran presence to their bullpen. No big deal. You know, we're kind of getting away from that mindset anyway, of trading with the division. I think it's a little different for if you were to trade Stephen Kwan to the Tigers, you know, and then face him, you know, whatever it is, 15 times a year for the next couple
of years. It's not
17
anymore, thank goodness.
I know, I'm always forgetting the math now. But, you know, that's probably different. But still, generally speaking, I mean, everybody's competing with everyone in the league now with three wild card spots. I mean, so if you're going to go down that road, you know, it's dangerous to trade with anybody in your league.
In the AL,
so,
yeah.
Yeah, so you see more of those intra-division deals. You don't see the reluctance to do that the way you once did. And yeah, Paul Sewald for the next couple of months where, you know, they're not really competing with the Tigers for the division at this point. And again, that's a good dude. I hope he, you know, I hope he puts it together for them in the last couple of months here.
Anthony Castrovince joining us, MLB.com. Are you hearing anything about the situations with Emmanuel Clase and Luis Ortiz? And is there any way they're on the field this year?
Well, I'll just say that, you know, if it gets to this point, it's not good, generally speaking, to remove them from the field. Obviously, you know, there's evidence that they're investigating. And, boy, that's the cardinal sin of baseball is to get involved with gambling. And I know there's been a lot of criticism of, you know, the partnerships that the league has with betting partners and whatnot. But, you know, the Supreme Court made a decision in 2018 that really change the whole landscape of sports gambling with or without the league's participation. You're going to have these, you know, apps aplenty and micro bets and baseball more than any other sport lends itself to those micro bets. You know, sure you can bet on every pitch if you want. So it's pretty ugly. And the players are very well educated on, you know, what to do, what not to do. And, you know, it's unfortunate that it got to this point with these guys where, you know, to even be removed from the field for the investigation is obviously not a good look.
Do you think the leagues, because there's legislation in Jersey now, do you think the leagues could put pressure on their partners at the gaming firms, although they're not partners with everybody, but to get rid of the micro bets?
I don't know, because like you just said, in some sense, the cat's out of the bag. I mean, in some sense, the gambling companies have seen the opportunity that exists here, the marketplace that exists, you know, for this. I was at a game a few weeks ago and someone just stood up cheering at a very random spot. And I was like, what? Did I miss something? And I realized, oh, it's probably some kind of silly bet that I don't understand. you know, it's just out there. And so, yeah, like you said, I mean, they could maybe lean on their partners. I don't know, but it doesn't mean there's some other company out there that'll take that bet on, you know. But I would also say that, look, the fact that we know about this stuff is a positive in light of, you know, it's an awful situation, but everything is on the books now. I mean, let's not kid ourselves into thinking that, maybe not micro bets, but let's not kid ourselves into thinking that there wasn't, you know, gambling on sports and baseball in particular going on prior to the 2018 Supreme Court ruling. Of course it was, you know, off the books. And, you know, having this stuff on the books, having this stuff, you know.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
With a paper trail, for lack of a better term, even though it's not paper, it's an app, but is how these guys got caught, is how these situations raised red flags where, hey, that's a lot of bets on a first pitch of whatever inning it happened to be, that caught people's eyes.
And those bets are all in Ohio, New York, and New Jersey.
Yeah. So the system worked in that regard. So, I mean, that's a good thing that comes out of this is at least we know that system is working.
Anthony, what value might Carlos Santana have to some team in the next 4 hours and 43 minutes?
I don't know. I think the value is just, I don't know. It's not high. It's just more about, from the Guardians' perspective, it's more about freeing up at bats for others at this point. That's just kind of where we're at. It is a market light on bats, and people, certain teams, certain clubhouses value veteran presence more than others. But the cold, hard analytical perspective, no, not a high amount of trade value there.
All right. So if they trade Kwan, is that thrown in the towel in the season? Is that you got to go back to your clubhouse tomorrow and say, all right, Well, let's just get through this. They're a young group that, as Kwan said, Kwan said he wanted to play here, right? And so it's like, if Kwan's gone, you're just saying, all right, we're looking at next year.
You might be saying you're looking at 2027, to be honest with you.
That's true, too.
Because they're pretty light offensively, and like you said, I mean, that's one of their best players. I think the other possibility here, just like I alluded to earlier, I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibility that you use this opportunity for things to come to a head and say, all right, if this is where you want to be, and, can we work out a deal here? It's in season, so that's unusual, but it's not unprecedented. If you trade Stephen Kwan, are you throwing the towel for this year? Yeah, and probably, I would think next year too, unless I'm missing something where they have a lot more coming than I realize or, a lot more spending coming than I realize. But if that was the case, then you wouldn't be trading Stephen Kwan in the first place.
Anthony, thank you. We appreciate you. You got a busy day today, and just thank you so much for joining us and giving us the lowdown. And we'll talk to you soon, my friend.
Thanks, Anthony.
Absolutely, guys.
Hey, already on trade deadline day. Shane Bieber finds his way to Toronto, the Guardians end up getting Cal Stevens, a double-A pitcher as of right now. He's a little banged up, but he is 9-1, and it does seem like they've got a guy coming in here that has some promise. So kind of excited about that. And then Paul Sewald is going to Detroit for a player to be named later or cash considerations.
I think it's interesting. Jeff Passan of ESPN mentioned earlier that Cal Stevens, one of the pop-up breakout candidates or breakout guys in or prospects in baseball this year, and the Guardians end up getting him. Throws in the mid to low 90s fastball and throws a lot of stuff and has been real effective this year. So we will see. Andy, I thought it was interesting to hear Anthony Castrovince, who was just with us from MLB.com. I thought and still think if Bieber had picked up that contract for next year, I would have kept him. He kind of hinted that maybe the Guardians didn't want him to because then they're on the hook for $16 million for a guy who has yet to pitch in the majors and wonder if he will. And I wonder when he goes to Toronto. I would think in that case, if I'm Shane Bieber, I'm completely just sitting back and not picking up my option and going to see what happens. And as Anthony said, if you do what Matthew Boyd did, if you finish out the regular season with some good starts, you get into the postseason because Toronto's going. And then you look good in the postseason, you won't be picking up that option. And instead, you'll go get a longer-term, bigger-money contract somewhere else or in Toronto.
I want to see how he plays. I thought the story we heard earlier today from Jim Clark, and you talk about Shane Bieber, who's now had some time to rest and heal and come back, and he was telling the story. Who was it? Who was the pitcher? He said he was coming back, that Mark Shapiro would come back, and it was in
Justin Verlander.
Oh, it was Verlander, and Verlander had been out, and Jim said, "Hey, do you think he'll be better when he comes back?" And Mark said to him, "Yeah, he's going to be better than ever."
Got a lot left in him,
and he did, and he won. One or two Cy Youngs after that rehab start. So Mark knows what he's doing there, and I think he got. We all know he got a good pitcher out of the deal. The question is, would that have still played out here? I don't know. Just kind of looking at the situation for the Guardians moving into tomorrow with Minnesota coming to town, and Minnesota's been making a bunch of moves. They just traded another reliever to the Dodgers. So It sounds to me, and
traded Harrison Bader to the Phillies as well.
Yeah, so they've made a couple moves, and apparently they're dumping players off that roster. So, you know, if you would have looked at the standings as far as the wild card was concerned, you know, the Guardians had to jump back over Minnesota after that 10-game losing streak to kind of move up in the wild card standings. And I want the Guardians to be competitive for the end of the year, and I want to believe that they've got a shot for that final wild card spot. They're 2.5 games back. You can't tell me they don't. They have a shot. Doesn't matter how you look at it. Doesn't matter if Stephen Kwan's there. Doesn't matter who's on this roster right now. They're sitting 2.5 games back. The question is if they do decide to trade a player like Stephen Kwan right now, does that just say, okay, we're done? And, you know, we talked to Anthony Kastrovitz just now, and Anthony's like, if they decide to trade Kwan, they may not only be done for this year, they might be done for next year too, because they've got to figure out a way to reload. I just think the pitching is there that could carry them no matter where. And they've done such a fantastic job of making sure that they have pitching, whether it's starting pitching or it's, you know, whether the starting pitching has to help out the bullpen or the bullpen has to help out the starting pitching. The pitching has been there for this organization for years, right? Right. And so,
yeah,
I think you'll always have an opportunity if you're pitching. They're 2.5 back. They're at 500 right now. They're sitting behind the Rangers and the Mariners, and the Mariners have picked up a couple bats in the last 24, 48 hours here. So they're both sitting at 57 and 52. The Guardians are 54 and 54.
Early on in the show, I mentioned kind of self-analysis.
Mm-hmm.
Might be what the Guardians are doing right now. You know, just sitting back, do we have what it takes to compete this year, maybe next year? And I am probably too locked on what they did in this draft, because a draft's a crapshoot, especially in baseball. But just the type of player they drafted makes me wonder, was there a big philosophical shift in the organization? Because you went out and you drafted big guys who can hit it hard.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, usually this team would load up on pitching in a draft, and they certainly did get pitching. But, man, they drafted the type of guys that they didn't seem to embrace a whole lot in the past. And now they've loaded up on them, like big swing and miss guys. And I wonder where this goes moving forward. And do they think they're like maybe 2 years away from having some of these college hitters come up and make an impact? We're seeing some of that already from last year's draft. You know, Caglione's made it up with the Royals, hasn't done real well. Nick Kurtz made it up with the Athletics, has done really well.
My question to you, Guards fans, if they stay pat and don't trade Kwan and move forward, does that make you feel like they're still in on this year and that they feel like they have, that they're like, you know what? Sometimes no move is a good move, and we feel like we can move forward on this, right? So no move could be a good move for the Guardians. But if they trade him, what's your reaction to that? And I don't know what you would have to see on the other side of the trade to make you happy. And I can't tell you how many times I've heard from people in the last 24 hours where people have said, if they move Kwan, I'm done. Now, I know you say that. I hear people say that all the time. Oh, I'm done. Never. They changed the name of the team. I'm not coming back. I'm gone.
They move Joe Carter.
I can't believe that. Yeah, I'm done.
Joe Carter was a phenomenal player who went on to phenomenal things once he left here.
Did that trade not help out the organization?
But that trade changed this organization. Yeah, and Joe's one of the best players I've seen here. But that's where you have to, and either you do or you don't. If you like the way this front office goes about its business, you almost have to trust them here. You know, and is it a philosophical shift? Do they not think they have the horses to compete the rest of this year, maybe next year? Maybe they're 2 years, 3 years away from really doing something, because, and I'm just looking at the guys they drafted. Then you had Bezzana and the young kid who's playing shortstop in Akron now, Angel Ano. And I don't know.
Jeff.
It's frustrating, Andy, because I like some of the young pitching right now.
Yeah.
Think about it. And if you keep that going, think about where that pitching might be, because it's not quite there yet. Think about where it might be in 2 years. And then by that time, maybe you have some of these young hitters who have come around. And Bizana's playing second base for you.
Jeff, if they trade Bartolo Colon, I'm out. Do you remember when they made that deal? I think they were only five games back on a playoff spot.
Well,
and there's another earth-shattering trade that they made that they were able to, you know, revitalize the organization with one simple trade for a name that you knew would bum you out.
Absolutely.
So,
yep. But it was the right situation because Montreal
was going to Washington.
They thought they needed something. Yeah.
And they wanted to make one last run in Montreal.
And they gave up a ton.
216-474-0092. 216-474-0092. I'll ask you one more time. If they trade Kwan, what does that mean to you as a fan? And, you know, we'll give you the opportunity to call in again. 216-474-0092 is the number to reach us. And Jeff, before we go to break, I want you to give it to me. But, you know, if they trade him, what does that mean?
I want to see what they get back before I would comment on that. I'll put it in this context, though. I don't want to see him get traded. I think Steven is a good baseball player. I don't think he's a superstar player. He hits for a good average. He's 24th in the major leagues in batting average. He doesn't have a whole lot of power. If you don't have a whole lot of power and you don't have a whole lot of speed, which he hasn't lately, I would like to see you hit for a higher average than that and get on more often. I don't think he's a superstar. I think he's a good player. And I don't think this team has enough good players. Now, if they're changing philosophies, Andy, here.
And I thought it was interesting you brought it up earlier that the guys they drafted this year are power hitters.
They're maulers.
Yeah.
They drafted a bunch of big dudes with some swing and miss and some other guys who were just big dudes and hit it hard. And Hel Martinez has looked pretty good in center field. Maybe they think he's their center fielder. I've talked about moving Kwan there. It doesn't seem to go over very well with anybody. But, you know, is Kwan a center fielder? I don't know. Well, then if he's not a center fielder.
Well, Dan will tell you his analytics will tell you his speed's down.
Right. Mm-hmm. If he's not a center fielder, Andy, and they've changed philosophy slightly, and I'm trying to connect a bunch of dots. And if they're doing that, then you can't really have a left fielder who doesn't have a whole lot of pop and is hitting .285 and whose average has dropped every month for the last 2 years.
216-474-0092. If they trade Kwan, you think what? I'm hoping that they don't do it. But if they do, what do you think? Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.